Okay, the Gemara mentioned before, this is how the Gemara got into this, that it said in the Mishnah, you can't marry the widow of a kohen, of a king. And Rabbi Yehuda said, a king could marry the widow of a king. Okay? So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, it says, Noshim Aruyus Lod Mibes HaMelech. But in other words, he brought a pasuk that Shaul, simply that means, David HaMelech married Shaul's widow. So the Gemara said, no, it was his daughters. He married Merav and Michal. So the Gemara's question was, how could David HaMelech marry two sisters? How could he marry Merav and Michal, right, when it's forbidden? So Rabbi Shua ben Karcha answered, then going back in the Gemara a little bit, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha answered, what Merav wasn't the proper Kedushin. Okay? So it says, let's start over here, because this is where we're really up to. My Kedusha Tois. Okay? 38, or Yutta Summit Bays, 19b2, second of the wide lines. The end of the second of the wide lines. Okay? The Gemara says, my Kedusha Tois, what was the mistake? The Gemara answered that the Merav was not a good Kedushin. And therefore, he didn't marry two sisters because he wasn't married to Merav, so he married Michal. So he says, "V'ha'yo isha she'akenu," because the Gemara says like this. Shaul said, when he came Goliath, Shaul said, the person that will kill him, Goliath, Yashren ha'melech eishi gadol. The king is going to make very wealthy. Shaul said, whoever kills Goliath, I'm going to make him very wealthy. Also, Katli, David went and killed him. Okay? So now, Alpidin, the king owed David a lot of money. Because he promised him, whoever kills him is going to get rich. So, David HaMelech said to Shaul, you know what, forget the money, give me your daughter Merav as a wife. So Shaul said to David, no, it's not a good Kedushin. Why? Because we learned last time, a Mekadesh B'milva Eina Mekadeshes. If a guy does Kedushin to a woman with a loan, it's not Mekadeshes. We learned that last week. If somebody lends a woman $100, yeah? And the next day he says to her, become a Kodeshes to me with that $100. It's not a valid Kedushin, because he's not giving her anything now.
Okay. She took the money most likely under duress.
No, she lent her the money yesterday. Okay, whatever. But Mekadesh B'milva and a Mekadeshes. And therefore, Shaul said to David, it's not a valid Kedushin with Merav.
Merav was the second child?
Merav and Michal were sisters. See, Merav was older. So, Mekadesh B'milva Eina Mekadeshes. So, what happened? In other words, like this. Shaul hated David HaMelech. You have to understand. He didn't want him to be a son-in-law. Shaul wanted to kill David HaMelech. So, David HaMelech now kills Goliath, and he wants to marry Shaul's daughter. So, Shaul made a halachic reason why he can't. He said, listen, it's not a good Kedushin. Azo Yavel Adriel. So, Shaul HaMelech gave Merav to another guy, Adriel, as a wife. The Chziv Ha'estei taste is made of Bashol to David. At the time when made of Bashol should have been given to David, since that she was given to Adriel. Okay? Amalei, so Shaul said to David HaMelech, okay, you know what? Iboyes Da'atanach Michal. If you want, I'll give you Michal, my second daughter. Again, this is all a ploy in Shaul's head. So I'll give you Michal.
How do we know? I mean, when they go, Chachomim, is just Ruach HaKodesh they knew, or they are making it up to...
No, they didn't make it up to make sense. This was Torah Sheba'al Peh.
This is what Shaul was thinking?
Yeah. Amalei, so Shaul said to David, the boys etin lach Michal. If you want me to give you Michal as a wife, Zil Aisili Mea Arlus Plishtim. Bring me 100 foreskins of the Plishtim.
Maybe he'll
okay.
die.
Azal isolates. So David HaMelech killed 100 plishtim and brought him 100 foreskins. Amalei Shaul said to him, it's still no good. This is where we're up to in the Gemara. Milva pruta is the gaboy. There's a milva and a pruta. I'll explain in a second. So therefore, it's not a valid kedushin. Meaning like this. We know for sure that if you do kedushin with a loan, it's not valid. Okay? What happens if there's a loan and he gives her a pruta? So the question is it a good Kedushin or not? What is the question? Okay, why isn't it good? You're giving her a pruta. The question is the mind of the woman on the loan or is the mind on the pruta? What is she thinking about? When the guy lent her $100 and then the next day he gives her a pruta, right? So the question is she thinking about the loan and that's what the Kedushin is, which makes it not valid? or is there intention under Peruta? So Shol Sava, Shol holds, Milvel Peruta, when there's a loan and a Peruta, Daita Milvel, his intention is on the loan. Why? Because the loan is $100 and the Peruta is a nickel. The David Sava, Milvel Peruta, Daita Peruta. And David thought, no, her mind is on the Peruta, therefore it's a good Kedusha. In other words, like this, there are two women that David wanted to marry, Merav and Michal, right? So Gemara asks, how can he marry two sisters? So Gemara answers, he didn't marry two sisters, right? And the truth is, the Gemara is explaining, Shaul invalidated both Kedushins. Okay? Now the first one, David HaMelech agreed to, because it was Mekadosh B'Milva. Because he said, whoever kills Goliath will get rich. That means, now that he killed him, Shaul owes David the money. It's a loan. He owes him the money. It's a debt. He owes him the money. Right? 1 minute. So, it's not a valid Kedushin. So, therefore, Shaul gave Adriel, Merav to Adriel. So, then Shaul says to David, okay, you want my second daughter? She's gone. Merav is gone. You want my second daughter, Michal? Okay, bring me 100 foreskins. So, David and Melech brought him 100 foreskins. So, now there were two things. The debt, because he still promised him he's going to be rich. He's going to make him rich. Plus, he gave her a peruta. So Shaul said, it's not a good kedushin.
Where did the peruta come about?
He gave her a peruta also.
Under the chuppah.
Yeah.
When they want to get married, the girl shouldn't have anything on her hand, like a...
Right. Like a glove?
No. Another big ring. Stone, sometimes they have an engagement ring.
No, it shouldn't be anything on the at the time of the chuppah. Right. What?
Does it depend on what she thinks she's receiving or what he is giving?
No, what she has to know what she's...
He's doing the whole thing.
Yeah, but she has to willingly accept the Kedushin. So she questioned, what is her mind on? Is her mind on the loan? So then it's not a valid Kedushin. Is her mind on the Peruta? It is a valid Kedushin. So it all depends what she's thinking about.
On the loan, if the Peruta is, he's doing the Peruta now, right?
I mean, yeah, but he's telling her, Milva and a Peruta, he's telling you to become a Kodesh.
Why would the Melech make the same mistake again? Why
did it's a different, it's not a mistake. Because this is an interesting, everybody owes Mekadosh B'Milva and Mekadosh, playing with a loan. Mekadosh B'Pruta, yeah, the Aloch is, it is good.
And why did...
There is no loan. He won the money.
Huh?
He won the money.
He won the money?
Winning.
He won the money.
Right.
No.
It's not a loan.
So, first of all, the Mefarshim say, you have to understand over here, Merav and Michal were under Bas Mitzvah. That's why Shaul's dealing with the Kedushin, not the girls. Over 12, the girls deal with the Kedushin, not Shaul HaMelech. Okay? Shaul HaMelech is playing around with David HaMelech, basically. He says, you want my daughter? No good. You want my other daughter? Okay, bring me 100 foreskins. Meanwhile, David HaMelech killed 100 plishtim. Then he comes back and says, Shaul, tough luck, you're not getting her anyway. Why? Because 100 foreskins, and the Gemara is going to talk about this in a second, was worth a peruta.
What? Oh, that's where the peruta came about.
What do you think the peruta was?
I know you said the...
No, the peruta was the 100 foreskins. By a girl, you have to give the money to the father, not to the girl. Mm-hmm. So he brought Shaul 100 foreskins. Now, now the question is, so now we have a loan that he promised him to make him rich.
That's not a loan.
Yes, it is. It's a debt.
It's a debt.
It is a debt.
A debt is a loan. A loan is a debt. Same thing. Right? If I owe you money, right now you didn't give me anything. I owe you money from before. Okay? So first, Shaul HaMelech said, you can't marry Merav because it's only a loan. I promise I'm going to make you rich. But I didn't give you anything yet. Right? I owe you the money. That's not Kedush. Then he said, okay, get me 100 foreskins. So now David HaMelech gives him the 100 foreskins. So there's a loan from yesterday that he promised to make him rich. Plus now he's giving him 100 foreskins. So Shaul said, the way the Gemara is learning now, Shaul said it's not a valid Kedushin. Because what is she thinking about? Meaning, Shaul, representing his daughter, and the Milva. And the Milva is no good. And David HaMelech says, not true. That's why David HaMelech said, Michal, my wife. Why? Because according to David HaMelech, the mind is on the Peruta. Or the Gemara says, Iboy, same, another answer. Kulama milva pruta daita pruta. Everybody holds milva and pruta. It's a good kedushin. Why did Shaul think it's not a good kedushin though? Why did Shaul say it's not valid? Shaul saber lechosev lemid. Shaul thought the foreskins are not even worth a pruta. One second. The David suffer. So why did David think it is worth a pruta? Like what do you know with 100 foreskins? Can't plant them.
Why didn't just get the $1 billion that he wanted? One second.
Shaul's playing with him. The David Savat, and David thought it is worth a pruta. Why? Savat lekalbe v'shunre. The foreskins are eaten by dogs and cats, so therefore it is worth a pruta.
Oh my! He just got killed. He killed 100.
Okay. What?
What is this foreskin? Why do they have to ask for foreskin? I don't understand.
Shaul wanted dead plishtim.
Right.
So to make fun of the whole story, he said, bring me 100 foreskins from dead plishtim.
No, to prove that he has killed them.
Right.
It's obstacles for dogs.
But maybe they gave it voluntarily, converted them.
Oh, yeah.
Doubt it.
But the idea about having no diamond on the ring, that's because your mind can't be on the diamond? Has to be on the ring?
No, the reason why you're not allowed to have a diamond ring by Kedushin is because the girl might think it's worth more than the value is. Let's say you give her a diamond ring, it's $1,000, let's say, right? And she thinks it's worth $1,500. So in her mind, she's accepting Kedusha only because it's $1,500. And it's only worth $1,000. So you're tricking her.
What if you buy it together?
But that's all the same.
It doesn't matter.
The same, your gold ring, how much this is?
Gold ring is a regular price. There's not the diamonds, you can range from real to fake to chip to not chip to.
You mean you go shahar? Oh, you can be the shahar of the.
Yeah, but gold, you can see what gold is. You know, whatever the price is of gold, it's gold.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
If they go buy it together.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No.
It could be fake gold, no? Gold plated.
No, we're talking about.
He gets excited over a ring of gold. Did you see all these things? The girl goes banana.
No,
she's saying the diamond.
The whole idea is that she has to have in mind that.
She has to know the value, because by kedushin the din is, if you make her, if you trick her for better or for worse, it's no good.
So you have to tell the value of the.
What if it gets a mekadesh the lady on the kedushin? I'm poor. It's a mishnah kedushin. We learned it. A guy is mekadesh when on kedushin he's poor. Right? And he ends up to be rich. Chayr is better.
Yeah.
It's not a valid kedushin because she dafka wanted a poor guy. The Gemara says, a guy says, I am a kedushin, I'm a kedushin, I'm a levi. And he ends up to be a kohen. It's not a good kedushin.
A very prenuptial in Judaism is.
So people do it today. I mean, we don't do it. But it's like you already think at that marriage you're getting divorced. But a lot of the modern Orthodox people are pushing it. A lot of modern Orthodox rabbis will not perform a wedding today if there's no prenuptial.
Yeah.
About a get, not about the finances, about a get.
But
you mean to say that if she wants a get, she gets it?
Yeah.
The prenuptial basically says it's to protect the women. That if at a certain time a bezin decides they need to give a get, so every day that he doesn't give the get, it's a fine of $200, $300 every day.
But that's not prenuptial.
It is a prenuptial.
Prenuptial is a financial.
That's what they. I'm not talking about prenuptial. Prenuptial means before marriage agreement. No. That's.
It's a good thing.
Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara answered two answers. The Gemara asked the question, how could. How could David marry two sisters? Okay? So one answer was. Merib wasn't valid, or Michal wasn't, whatever, it wasn't the valid Kedushin. But Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa said a different answer. That David married Michal after Merib died. In other words, according to that opinion, Rabbi Yossi, he married Merib, she died, and then he married Michal. Because the Gemara thought at the beginning that he married both sisters at the same time. So Gemara asked, how can he marry two sisters at the same time? So one answer was, Merib was never married to him, it was a mistake. Right? So therefore he didn't marry. The other answer was, no, he married Michal after Merib died.
David was a kid at this time anyway.
Who?
David.
Wasn't a kid.
He
was over bar mitzvah. 17. No. So, I think he was 17. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi, hi, Tanoi, it's Ishti, it's Michal, my daughter's baby. So according to Rabbi Yossi, that David married Michal after Medav died, right? So how does Rabbi Yossi hold? How was David married to Medav? So he said like this. Rabbi Yossi Aitana is Ishti as Michal, my daughter's baby. What does Rabbi Yossi learn on the verse? He said, give me my wife Michal. Well, now, if he says, give me my wife Michal, meaning only Michal was his wife, not Medav. So Rabbi Yossi, the time, so Rabbi Gomer answered, Rabbi Yossi goes according to his logic, the Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Erdeirish, Mikrois, Murav. Rabbi Yossi would learn and explain mixed up Sukkim. What I was going to say. It says like this, V'yikach ha-melech shnei b'nei Ritzpah, David ha-melech took the two sons of Ritzpah, Bas Aya, who was the daughter of Aya, Asher yolda l'shol, that Shol gave birth to Armeni and Mephibosheth. Okay? In other words, there was Ritzpah, the daughter of Aya, who was Shol's wife, who gave birth to Armeni and Mephibosheth. That's what the pasuk says. And then it says, V'chameshes b'nei Michal, and the five sons of Michal, Ashiyod de la Adriel HaMecholasi, that Adriel de Mecholasi gave birth with Michal. So the pasuk says Michal was married to this guy Adriel, and they had five sons. So he says, V'chila Adriel nesana. Sholomelech didn't give Michal to Adriel, because it says, L'palti ben Laish nesana. The pasuk says, clearly give it to another guy. Palti ben Laish. The chsev is shown us as Michal Bite, Eish is David, the Falti ben Laish. So the psukim don't make sense over here.
What's going on here?
Yeah, who did? Adriel, la Palti, what's going on over here? Elos, he says, Makish Kedusha made of Ladriel, the Kedusha Michal the Palti. What the pasuk means, this is what the Basi says. The Torah is comparing the marriage of Medav and Adriel to the marriage of Michal and Palti, meaning, Ma kedushin Michal lepalti ba'aveda. Just like the kedushin that Shaul HaMelech did to Michal with Palti was wrong. Why? Because Michal was already mekudeshes to David. Af kedushin made of Ladriel, the same thing made of marriage to Adriel, was ba'aveda, also ba'aveda. Why? Because she was also married to David. In other words, he's saying like this, we're making a cholent of all the psukim. The pasuk likens Michal to Adriel, to Medav with Palti. Okay? So the Gemara says, what does that mean? So he says, just like the Adriel to Michal was wrong because she was already married to David, and you can't marry off a married woman, the same thing, Medav was married to Adriel with a mistake because she was already married to David. So the same thing, Michal to Palti was also wrong because she was also engaged to David HaMelech.
So she had two husbands?
No, not at the same time. Oh, no, it was a mistake. It wasn't valid, the second condition.
So she never lived with him.
If a guy comes over to a married woman, and she says, he says to her, Harei HaMekudesh HaSlib et HaBazu. From the two witnesses, he doesn't know she's married. He doesn't even know she's married. Yeah, guys have, different countries, different wives, different husbands, you know. Okay, so he comes over to a married woman in front of two witnesses and says, "Hey, Mekudesh shel Tzibit Bazu, that's Meshav Yisrael." Yeah? And then you find out, they don't live together, but it's Kedushin, yeah? Then you find out she's married to somebody else. Does she need a get from the second guy?
No, but
not valid.
She didn't accept it.
Saying if she accepted it.
But she can go back to the first guy?
Yeah, because she didn't live with the second guy.
But if she would have lived with the second guy?
Then it's an Eishes Ish that committed adultery. She can't go back to the husband.
Either one.
So can't right. So this, Michal never was with Paul.
No. He's saying that Shaul gave him, but it wasn't, there was a mistake in giving.
What happened to the money? Did you guys love it,
Gary? Where is this money?
No, he got Michal Bashol instead.
Huh?
He got Michal instead.
But that's why using a milva to...
No. No, milva pruta.
That's okay.
Milva pruta. Together.
Both together?
No.
Why shouldn't the...
Daita pruta. So her mind was on the
so Bible. What happened to the loan?
The huh?
What happened to the loan?
He was meichel the loan to get Michal.
Oh, and mochel the loan.
So he was meichel the debt.
Why? If he was...
Because David wasn't into money. He wanted Mekadish, to marry Michal.
If he was Mekadish with the Pruta, he should have gotten the money.
Why?
It's unnecessary.
He was Michal the money.
Why?
Ask him!
What doesn't make sense?
He get it. He got it anyway. He became a king.
He was Jewish, but he wasn't Persian.
Michal was more of the Solomon.
Yeah. No, Bathsheba was.
Did they have any children?
David had six wives. Okay? One was Michal. One was Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech.
One was Merav.
Well, the question is, it depends which opinion.
Michal?
Huh?
Did he have any children with Michal?
No.
Why did they?
Did he divorce Michal? Because she was one of them?
Because what? Why should he divorce her?
Left her. Didn't he leave her?
No.
Because he was dancing.
He was dancing.
That's when he wanted to marry her.
No. Well, that's when he went,
yes.
No, she saw him from the window and she made fun of him.
No, that's when she wanted to marry him. That's when he saw her.
Which one was Shlomo HaMelech's wife?
Bathsheba.
So, David HaMelech only had one child?
I thought David married.
No, he had Avshalom. What are you talking about?
Didn't David marry Michal before he became a king?
Yeah.
When he became a king and he was going to Yerushalayim, he was dancing with the Torah, she saw him and she said, this is not a king.
No,
I right, thought he yeah. was married then.
But they were married.
No, he was that married to married. Michal then.
Michal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rabbi, he had six wives, and he himself is number seven. He's Malchut. Does that mean like they're the six Minot? Almost Chesed, the Lord.
I don't know. I really don't care, to tell you the truth. But I definitely don't know.
Because he's Malchut, no?
David Malchus. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Shua ben Karcha." It says, "Chameishes b'nei Michal Bashol." Okay, so it says. In other words, a question like this, because it says, "Chameishes b'nei Michal Bashol," right? That she bore Tadriel. So l'cheira David's marriage to Merav was good. Amalach Rabbi Shua v'chi Michal Yolda. Michal didn't give these to birth to these five kids. Merav Yolda. Madev gave birth to the kids. So the answer like this. Madev Yolda, Madev gave birth to the kids. Why does one pasuk say Michal had the kids? Michal Godla. Michal raised the kids. In other words, Madev gave birth, because it says in the pasuk Michal didn't have any kids. Okay? So it says, so how could the pasuk say Michal had five kids? So it says Madev had the five kids, but Michal raised them. The figure Nikra Shma Lalamdcha to teach us an interesting, very basic halacha. Shekola Megadl Yosim Metech Beisei. Anybody who raises an orphan in his home, Milo Levakosim Kilu Yolde. It's considered as if they gave birth to them. So therefore, the pasuk says Michal gave birth to the kids, even though Meirav did, not Michal. Right? Because she raised the kids. And then the Gemara is going to continue with this.
Rabbeinu, did David HaMelech have any daughters? Only sons?
And he had a daughter, right? And one of the sons
he had 11 sons. Daughter.
Tamar, no.
He got raped with the
rains.
Tamar.
Amnon and Tamar.
Yeah. That was his daughter.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thousand wives, but this is my thing.
That's not
Shlomo HaMelech had 1,000 wives. By the way, from David HaMelech, the Mishnah says later in Sanhedrin that a king is allowed 18 wives. The Torah says Liyarba
Le'Noshim.
Yeah. He's not allowed to have a lot of wives. So the Mishnah says later, how many wives is a king allowed to have? 18. Why? Because they learn not from David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech had six wives, and Nasan and Navi came to him and said to him once, if that's not enough, I'll triple it. If there's not enough wives, I'll triple it.
He triples it?
No. The Pearl David HaMelech had six, but the fact that Nelson and Novi said, if six is not enough, I'll triple it, meaning 18, he's allowed 18
what
wives.
What does it mean, I triple it? He was in control, so David had more.
No, he said he would allow him to marry.
It's just Ma'amlis says that he had 400 sons and they were running the whole government for him.
Oh, David. There's a lot of interesting midrashim. Question what that means. But chlal, a lot of midrashim don't necessarily, the Rambam's son, Rabbi Avraham and Rambam writes, a lot of Rishonim write that a lot of the midrashim are guzmois, exaggeration. For the Gemara says in Saita, yes, there was Avtei of Shimshin, yeah? Not that guy, the original. It says in the Gemara, he showed 60 amis wide. That means he was 120 feet wide. So the Mefarshim, even the article at the bottom, he brings down from the Rishonim that say it's an exaggeration. It doesn't mean.
The same goes with the height of Moshe Rabbeinu.
So that is no. That's an interesting thing. That in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Taka, it says that the Tosis proves that he was Taka actually 10 amos high.
He became.
Huh? No.
And then they say Paro was in
the middle.
Gemara says Paro was one amma by one amma by one amma. According to the Medrash, Paro was a square amma. Height, width, and.
By the center?
Obviously.
Yeah, it's proven by the way. They found that.
It's very small.
It's small, but you know, a foot and a half by a foot and a half by a foot and a half. Not that small.
What
come on.
Wouldn't that be a moon?
For what?
To work in Beis HaMikdash.
Pari didn't work in the Beis HaMikdash. What if it's.
But Pari must be the same.
No. Why is 10 amas and boom, boom?
10 amas is higher than
15 feet. It's a sign of completeness.
Aharon must be in the same category like Moshe Rabbeinu because they picked up Levim. 24.
I don't know. Let's go.
What number wife was Bathsheba?
Look, it called the Census Bureau. I don't know. I know Tanakh. Those are the guys that know Tanakh very well probably will tell you right away. I don't know.
I think it's the last
one. Why was it necessary for David to marry the daughter of what was it? Power. Is there the more message into it than?
Shaul was a very holy man. He wanted Bas Talmid Chacham. You know what it is to marry the daughter of a king. It's a very great thing. Shaul was Shichmei Lamaila Gavei Mikolam. The pasuk says Shaul was head and shoulders above everybody. And Chassidus explains it doesn't mean physically only. It means his intellect. Shichmei Lamaila head and shoulder mean Shaul HaMelech was Mechavis HaNor Shaul HaMelech by the kings of Edom. It says Shaul Mechavis HaNor. Chassidus uses that for Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was the epitome of Bina, of Atzilus. Shaul HaMelech was Shaul HaMelech was head and shoulders above everybody else. Shaul HaMelech was a very, very great man. This day he had this running with David HaMelech, who's all in Kedusha. What do you think? Shaul HaMelech is a Rasha? He wants to kill David because he's jealous of him. Come on.
But he brings back someone
who
went dead.
So the boss can ask, how was he allowed to do it? And they answer, because he was a king, he was allowed to do it. Oh, I mean, the Gemara, by the way, it's later in the Gemara Sanhedrin also. But Shaul HaMelech, you know, it's not the, you know.
He said he had class, he wouldn't eat beans in the Gemara class.
Definitely not. Didn't eat beans, period. Yeah. Okay. So, marrying Michal Bashol, he wanted to marry made of her, you know, this is the. Bechlau, you know, David HaMelech lived a very, very difficult life. First of all, do you know this father threw him out of the house because he thought he was a mamzer?
Yes.
And then he had Avshalom, his son, and then he had, you know, he had a lot of. David HaMelech had a very, very difficult life. Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill him, and he was running from.
How
and then
could he be a mamzer? He's the father. The father doesn't know if he was a
mamzer. No.
That was the issue. Yeah.
He was redhead.
He looked different.
No, that wasn't why. Because Yishai. You know the story of Rusim Bayas, Ameini Vilei Ameyavi Vilei Meyavis.
Okay.
But Pliny Almeini was also a great man in the Book of Rus. Mm-hmm. You guys say we don't say Rus. I mean, we do by Tikkun LaShavuos. But Pliny Almeini didn't want to marry Rus because he said you're not allowed to marry a ger from Amein, a Meyav. Bayas came and said Amein Vilei Ameinis, Meyav Vilei Meyavis. So it was allowed.
Okay.
Later on, in the time of Yishai, who was one of the four people that only died because death was decreed on the world, the Gemara says in Babasra, Yishai was one of the four people that the only reason they died is because God decreed death in the world, otherwise he wouldn't have died. Okay? Yishai maintained again that it refers to male and female.
Oh, it changed the halacha?
Yeah. So therefore Yishai divorced his wife. No, he didn't divorce. He sent her away. He said, I won't have anything to do with you anymore. I'm not allowed to. So he sent her away. Mrs. Yishai was basically thrown out of the house. Mrs. Yishai knew the halacha is that it's not true. So she came to him in the middle of the night, like another wife, whatever, and she became pregnant from her husband.
Oh.
But her husband didn't know that it was from him. Can you imagine today? Okay. Anyway, the husband didn't know it was from him. The point when she became pregnant, yeah, then he really threw her out of the house and said, you're having somebody else's kid. It's a mamzer. So when David HaMelech was born, Yishai threw him out like a dog.
Why didn't she do
that? One second, he was a mamzer. So when did that change? When did that change? When Shmuel HaNavi was told by Hashem, go to Yishai's kids to appoint a king. Mm-hmm. So he went to all the kids. He had great tzaddikim. Shmuel went to, no. He went to all the kids, except David, and he said, no. So Shmuel said to Yishai, there has to be another kid, because it's all no. God told me to make one of your kids. He said, no, I have another kid, a mamzer, whatever. So he went there and he said, that's the one. So then Yishai realized he's not a mamzer.
Why didn't Mrs. Yishai didn't bring a staff like Tamar and show it to him? I mean, we already had this. So she knew it.
Ask her.
I mean, she knew.
Text her.
You should have told
over there, they answer texts. In, upstairs in Gan Eden, they answer texts. Okay. So now the Gemara is saying a statement. The Gemara said a statement. The Gemara is going to just, it's very interesting. The Gemara is going to prove that whoever raises an orphan is like you gave birth to him. This is story in the Rus and Bayas, yeah? But Nami. It says that Nami gave birth. So Gemara says, Nami Yolda, but Rus Yolda. Rus gave birth to the child. Not Nami. Why is the pasuk saying Nami gave birth to the child? El Rus v'Nami Gidla. And now I'm sorry, Rus Yolda. Rus gave birth to the kid. V'Nami Gidla. And Nami raised it. She raised her grandkid. So therefore, Nikra Shema. Rabbi Yechon and Meyach, another proof. It says, V'ishta Yehidiyah. This is colleague's wife, Yehudia. Yoldas Yered Avigder gave birth to Gedur. Ve'ela b'nei Bisya. It's interesting. Here in Natskur, the Nukudas, he calls it not Basya, Parah's daughter, but Bisya. But Parah Shalokachle Mered. Colleague's wife, Bisya, bore Yered, the father of Gidur. Okay? So he could seal father of Tzemach. These are the sons of Bisya, daughter of Parah, whom married. Okay? Now, listen to this. It says here that based on this pasuk, Kalev married Bisya. Basya, Parah's daughter. So Gemara says like this. Mered, that Kalev. Who's Kalev? Mered? That Bisya married? Kalev. Velamanikashme Mered. Why was he called Mered? Shemadad batzas miraglim, because he rebelled against the miraglim, morad, merida, rebellion. So the Gemara says, v'chibis yoyolda, and one by the names of these kids, by the way, are Sochi you could seal his Moshe Rabbeinu. But Yecheved yolda, Bisya didn't give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yecheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is the pasuk saying that Basya's Pari's daughter gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? Al Yecheved Yolda, you see what happened. Yecheved gave birth to the baby. Bisya Yolda Begidla, who raised Moshe Rabbeinu in the palace by Pari. Basya raised him, or Bisya. I don't know how to get it. The figure of Nikra Shema, therefore, is called Bisya's child.
Here it says Bisya also.
Huh?
Here it says the same.
I know. I guess the proper pronunciation is Bisya.
Betya married Kalev ben Yefuneh.
Yeah. Well, she married. Yeah. According to this Gemara, Kalev married Miriam also.
Yeah.
What's going on? Why not? Basya became a Jew, no?
She became
Bas Yudke.
We have freedom, though.
Yeah. He had two wives.
In fact, it's called Yehudia. Why was she called Yehudia? Like the Gemara says, Yehudim, whoever denies idols and accepts God. Basya, when she went down to the city, went to convert.
So Kalev had two wives?
At least.
Just because you can.
Nice color.
Why can't he have two wives? Yaakov Avinu had four. Avraham Avinu had two. Avraham Avinu had two wives. Yitzchok had one wife because he was doing it to me, whatever. And Yaakov had four wives. I mean, it wasn't.
Miriam and Batya.
Rabbi, we have to emulate our forefathers. Why aren't we emulating him with wives?
You could.
If they want us to be like them, we should marry at least three, four.
100%.
You try. You be the first.
Just don't invite me to your new wedding. Now, Blazer, I'm in Mihachar, Blazer says another proof, that if you raise a kid, they'll say you give birth to them. Because it says, go out to Bezreah Mecho with a powerful arm, you redeem your people. But in Yaakov and Yosef Selah, the children of Yaakov and Yosef. So the question is, v'chi Yosef Yolad, did Yosef give birth to the 12 sons of Yaakov? V'la Yaakov Yolda, why does it say Yaakov and Yosef? Ali Yaakov Yolda v'Yosef Kilkel. Who supported the Shvatim in Mitzrayim? Yosef did. Therefore, it's called as if he gave birth. So the Gemara says until now, because the Gemara is changing topics, same thing, but the Gemara says, whoever raises a kid is like he gave birth to them. Now the Gemara is going to say, whoever teaches somebody Torah, it's also like you give birth to them. Okay? Whoever teaches Torah to his friend's son, you consider it as if he gave birth to him.
You're not talking about Talmidei Chachamim?
Why is such a simple Gemara complicated? Whoever teaches somebody's son Torah is like he gave birth to him. Shenamar. Ve'ela told us Adin Umesha. In beginning of Shemais it says, these are the children of, not in, in Bamidbar. These are the children of Aaron Umesha. And then the Torah only enumerates Aaron's children. The Torah starts off by saying, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe. And then the Torah says, only Aaron's children. Yeah. And then it says, Uksiv Elish Meiz Ben Aaron, but not Moshe Rabbeinu's kids. Elulei Melach Aaron Yolad, teaches like this, Aaron gave birth to them. Umeisha Limid, and Moshe taught them Torah. Lefikach Nikra Shmei, this Rashi brings down on Chumash, by the way. Rashi brings down on Chumash, that the bottom line of it is, because Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron's kids Torah, so therefore it says like Moshe Rabbeinu gave birth to them. That's what the Gemara says. Then another pasuk. L'chein koyam Hashem al Beis Yaakov asher pardes Avram. Okay, so you say to Beis Yaakov who redeemed Avram. So the Gemara says like this. V'chihechem atzinu b'Yaakov asher pardes Avram. This is without Chassidus, by the way. Chassidus is the whole explanation of this. But the Gemara asks a question. The pasuk says, Yaakov redeemed Avram. So the question, where do we find Yaakov redeemed Avram? It just says, what did it mean? Shepad mitzar gidl banim. He took care of them. He saved him. Yaakov saved Avram from having 12 kids. In other words, like this. Like it says here, Hashem said to Avram, you're going to have many children. So the 12 children really were supposed to be by Avram. Instead, Hashem gave them to Yaakov. Okay? So therefore, Yaakov saved Avram from having to raise 12
headaches.
Tosis says they're blessing.
Oh, so he says, so Tosis over here says, having a lot of kids is not pain, it's a joy. So it means, what it mean, the taste of senses, what does it mean, the tzar, what did Yaakov save Avram? The tzar was Yosef and the brothers. And that he ended up in Mitzrayim, so that was supposed to happen to Avram, and it didn't. So it happened to Yaakov. What?
I thought it's the covenant that Yaakov didn't make with the Malach, king of Pishon.
It's not what this is.
This is where we
have... Abich Zidis, Yaakov Shepodas Avram, the mid of Teferis, is reveals the level of Chesed. Right.
But I heard that this is Abich Shach, that Avram and Yitzchak made covenants that for three generations they wouldn't conquer Palestine.
No.
And Yaakov ran away from Eretz Israel not to make that covenant. And that's why the Jews... three generations later, you know, were able to get it.
Maybe. Well, Maybe.
This is where we learn the halacha of that Rambam brings that the grandfather is the is supposed to teach the children because
no, that's not
father.
What you refer to. This pasuk before Matan Torah. Ve'idaitem levanecha ve'levnei vanecha. It's a clear pasuk to Chumash. You have to teach your children and your grandchildren. A grandfather's halacha. You know, it's interesting. According to halacha, well, I don't want to say, but there's a question if schools, if the father doesn't want to pay tuition or can't, they can go after the grandfather. Because the grandfather has an obligation to pay it, to teach his grandchildren Torah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The Rambam also.
Hello? Me too. Okay.